So we turn now to our studies in the larger catechism. Our text for tonight is Exodus 20, verse 15. That is the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And we're looking tonight at larger catechism questions 140, but particularly 141. So, larger catechism question 140, which is the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. Then question 141, what are the duties required in the eighth commandment? The duties required in the eighth commandment are truth, faithfulness, and justice in contracts and commerce between man and man, rendering to everyone his due, restitution of goods unlawfully detained from the right owners thereof, giving and lending freely, according to our abilities and the necessities of others, moderation of our judgments, wills, and affections concerning worldly goods, a provident care and study to get, keep, use, and dispose of these things which are necessary and convenient for the sustentation of our nature and suitable to our condition. A lawful calling and diligence in it, frugality, avoiding unnecessary lawsuits and suretyship or other like engagements, and an endeavour by all just and lawful means to procure, preserve and further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as our own. So the sixth commandment deals with the sanctity of life. Life is precious. Life is holy. Life is given to us by God. God gives it, and only God has the right to take it away. The seventh commandment deals with the sanctity of marriage. God gave us marriage, the institution of marriage, sex is for marriage, and only for marriage. And then the eighth commandment deals with the sanctity of property. There is a right of private property. When the commandment says, thou shalt not steal, that implies that people have a right to hold their own possessions, and it's wrong to take what belongs to somebody else. So people have a right to have private property. It's theirs, it belongs to them, and to take it from them is to steal. Every culture basically teaches thou shalt not steal. Wherever you look in the world, people know that. It's written upon the heart and the mind, the conscience of men and women. They know that to steal is wrong. Now, this time we're thinking a lot about politics, and politics comes into these things to some extent. For example, communism. Communism has been practiced by large nations like the Soviet Union and China. A large part of the world was covered by communism. Communism's basic idea is that everything belongs to everyone. And everything belongs to the state. And the state belongs to the people, so everything belongs to everyone. Now, sounds great in some ways, but of course there are problems with this. When they tried to implement that in China, the teaching of Chairman Mao, the effect was that people went into restaurants demanding that they be served and so on, and people going round claiming everything for themselves. And the end result was many people ended up in poverty, but not just that, but as we know with restaurants, the way food is prepared, there's a lot of waste, and the end result was that lots of people died of hunger and famine and poverty. Some 60 million people died in China as Chairman Mao sought to implement his communism. Today, communism has changed somewhat and developed into a kind of form of capitalism in China, because people have their own businesses, their own farms, and it's seen that if everything belongs to everyone, people don't have the incentive to work. But if they have their own little plot, then they work a lot harder looking after their own plot. If they have their own business, then they will put a lot more effort into making sure that the business is successful. And so in China today, you find a tremendous amount of wealth, a lot of wealthy people. Of course, there's great poverty too, but plenty of Mercedes cars and Jaguars and all sorts of expensive vehicles going around. So there's lots of people with money, there's success, but now some people have argued for communism on the basis of Acts chapter 2. You remember following Pentecost, how the Christians then, if they had lands or houses, they sold them and they brought the money and gave it to the apostles, who distributed to everyone as they had need. But there's a difference. The kind of Christian communism which was practiced in Acts chapter 2 and following that was a voluntary communism. It was something that people entered in freely of their own will. They weren't compelled to do it as people were in Russia and China. And further, remember when Peter was dealing with Ananias and Sapphira, he said to them, you didn't have to sell your land. Before you sold it, it was your own. And after you had sold it, the money you got belonged to yourselves. It was your own. You didn't need to give it. You could have kept it all for yourself. You could have given part of it to the church if you wanted. But the problem was that they lied to the Holy Ghost. They said that they had given all the money that they got for the land to the church, when they'd only given a portion of it. And therefore, they were trying to look better than they were. And they were involved in hoodwinking, or thinking they could hoodwink the Holy Spirit, and that God couldn't see what they were up to. It's also interesting that what was practiced in Jerusalem wasn't practiced anywhere else. We don't hear about this sort of thing going on in Antioch or in Ephesus or in Corinth or Rome. It was something that belonged to that initial giving of the Spirit. In other places, in Ephesus and Corinth, collections were made. And people gathered and they sent up money to Jerusalem for those poor Jews, poor Christian Jews who were suffering there. But so the situation that occurred there was not laid down as a rule or as a standard. It was something that was practiced in the euphoria of their first enjoyment of the outpouring of the Spirit, forgiveness of sin and adoption into God's family. that's communism. And then we have socialism. The Labour government is, if the Labour Party, if they were to get into government, they would seek to have a very socialist program. And particularly our present Labour Party is very left-wing and very socialist. And the ideas in socialism is the kind of nationalisation of industry and of everything be nationalised, controlled. To some extent, the idea of robbing the rich to give to the poor. Now, the Labour Party and Labour governments have done many good things, and we are very thankful, for example, for the National Health Service and what it has done for our country. And it's good to have some form of social security when you think of the great poverty that existed in Victorian times. These things are good. So the government should have a care for the poor and the needy in our society. And that is good. But the problem is if it's carried too far. And if the government becomes the, as it were, the kind of sole employer, and the rich are completely made poor, and people who laze about and don't work and can't be bothered working find that they're better off claiming social security rather than working. These sort of things are not good. And sadly, there's many in our society who have chosen a life of idleness and drug addiction and addiction to drink and so on, not working, not contributing towards others. And that is something which has to be condemned. On the other hand, capitalism too can go too far. There can be too much emphasis on being rich, being wealthy. There can be a greed there, a greed that crushes the poor in order to achieve their own wealth. And we find this even in Israel. The prophets condemned those who were adding field to field and leaving no room for the poor where they could live and where they could cultivate their crops, as it were. The wealthy removing the landmarks and taking over all the land for themselves and crushing the poor in the process. An interesting verse, really. One of the verses I remember that I was taught in school, in primary school, when I was there many, many years ago. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands, that he may have to give to him that needeth. A good verse, and it sets before us, of course, a very Christian pattern. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labour. We have a duty to labour, to work with our hands, so that we can give to those that need and provide for others. So there has to be balance in government between socialism on the one hand and restrained capitalism on the other. Coming then to the question before us, and as you see, in dealing with the commandment here, question 141 deals with the duties required, and 142, the sins forbidden in the eighth commandment. So the duties required tonight, we're thinking of the more positive side of things. The duties required in the eighth commandment are truth, faithfulness, and justice in contracts. Truth is very important. God hates lies. God is the God of truth, the God who cannot lie himself. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So, truth is required, faithfulness and justice in contracts. It's interesting that that the stock market in London had this as its kind of motto, my word is my bond. And that's the way it should be. Our word should be our bond. So that if we say something, if we enter into a contract, we make sure that we carry out our responsibilities, even if it's simply in word, and certainly also even more so if it's a signed contract. Truth is required in contracts, whether it's some work that we're getting somebody to do, or whether we ourselves are carrying out work or doing something for someone else. Truth, being faithful, dutiful, and justice in contracts and commerce. Commerce, buying and selling. Again, it's wrong to alter the weights and the measures. False weights, false measures. It's wrong to sell something for that's not what it's supposed to be. It's wrong to sell for more than it should be sold for. Yes, we look for a good bargain and we look for a good price if we're selling things, but again, there's limits to it, and we must not exploit other people. Otherwise, we are involved in stealing in one way or another. So, truth as far as buying and selling, faithfulness, doing our part, and justice. Justice, social justice, justice for others, whatever their situation is. If somebody does work for us, it's very wrong if we don't pay the person for the work. And or if we delay paying them for the work so that the person is left struggling to make ends meet because we're not paying them for the work that they do. And so they end up sometimes bankrupt because the folk that they've done work for haven't paid their part of it in time. Truth, faithfulness and justice in contracts and commerce between man and man. Rendering to everyone his due. Giving to all his due. The rich must not oppress the poor or keep back wages. We think of the words in James, woe unto you rich, the wages that you have kept back from the poor are crying out to the Lord for vengeance upon you. The laborer is worthy of his hire and he must be paid for it. We must pay for what goods we receive. Romans 13 verse 7, render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due. Tribute, we're to pay taxes, we're to pay the taxes that are right and legitimate. We're not to seek to evade the taxes or evade the customs and duty. That again is taught, and we have the example of Christ. You remember when Peter came to him and asked, "Do you pay custom? Do you pay tribute?" And you remember how Jesus sent him down to the lake with his hook and line to catch a fish, and in that fish there was the coin for paying the tribute money, the tax money, for himself, for Christ, and for Peter. So even the Son of the King, the Son of God, paid taxes on earth. Restitution of God of goods unlawfully detained from the right owners thereof. There's quite a lot about this in the Levitical law. In Deuteronomy also, if you see an animal that's gone astray, then you're duty bound to keep that animal, to look after it and feed it. until the owner turns up, and then you give it back to him. If you see a sheep fall into a pit, you're duty bound to try and get it out of the pit to save its life. If you see a man with a donkey and a burden on his back, and the donkey falls and the man is struggling, you've got a duty to go over and help the man. So we're to be our brother's keeper. We're to love our neighbour as ourselves, and to have a concern for the needs of others and the wealth of others. There's that restitution of goods. And if we've unlawfully detained goods from the right owner thereof, pay it back. We've got to give it back. Giving and lending freely. We are stewards employed by God. Some people think, well, you pay your tax, you pay your tithe to the church, and then you can do what you like with the rest of your money. But it shouldn't be like that. Yes, we pay our tithes to the church, but the rest of our money, we've got to answer to God for it too. Because all we are given, we have been given by God, and we have to answer to God for the way that we spend our money. And we are to remember that we are managers. God has given us certain resources, and our duty is to manage these resources, to manage them for the good of others. And Jesus teaches us in that saying of Jesus that's not to be found in the Gospels. The only saying of Jesus not found in the Gospels is to be found in Acts 20. It's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. And we all know that. There's a joy and a blessing in giving. And giving a gift to somebody, there's more joy in giving than being at the receiving end. And it's a wonderful privilege to be able to help those who are in need. And we should have a concern for those who are truly in need and seek to help them. There are, of course, those who pretend to be in need and they pretend to have various needs. There's lots of people come round the church from time to time and they're asking for money for a fare to go to